B-Pod Studios.
This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute. These guys, oh my lord, what could come next?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Around the NFL.
Over in his hands.
In 15 minutes.
You play to win the game.
All right, we're going to take a break from football here momentarily. And then, I mean, I pile on. I mean, all of you are all over social media yelling at me. Pile on.
617-779-0985. Next break, we will take your calls.
Yeah, pile on. Yell at me.
Dude, I could read you all the tweets that I was getting yesterday about, oh, Fred, I guess Zach Wilson's doing something that no one else can believe.
Which made me question the intelligence of the fan base.
Oh, how dare you? They were spot on, Fred. You blew him up to be some amazing juggernaut, and he came in here and crapped the bed worse than Nathan Peterman ever. Did.
Well, listen, he played a terrible game, but the idea that, like, well, he's garbage. Okay.
And will be forever.
Yeah, you've obviously watched a tremendous amount of football. Nick, if you could come in. And this is a feel-good one. This is not making fun of Nick.
I got a tweet. They're tweeting me about you for some reason. Can't wait for Fred. Can't wait to hear Fred's going to defend his boy, Zach Wilson.
I'm not going to defend his performance yesterday. It was terrible. He played worse than I thought he would play.
Tell
obviously.
Fred, Zach Wilson, and Jameis Winston both suck.
Yeah, I was wrong about Jameis Winston. I thought Jameis Winston. What I was wrong about was Jameis Winston. To be honest, is because I thought Jameis Winston was going to roll this season. So I'm already wrong about him.
Yeah.
Because I thought he was going to be. I think I said top. He could be a top five guy this year.
Yes, you did.
As I said, I'm wrong about a lot of things. That's the one thing I was right about. Because I said this week he was going to suck.
Yeah. Yes. So I. Listen, if I could predict everything, I wouldn't need a job. But the thing, like, Zach Wilson threw four picks. You know nothing about football. Oh, well, okay. No, you know nothing about football.
You're the one that's the dummy face.
But can you imagine? You're the GM of a team, and you're like, oh, well, you spent a second round pick on this kid. And then he has this terrible game, and you're like,
I
blew the pick. Like, it's all over. All right. So anyway, young Nicholas, who was at one point in his life covered in his own excrement, is good as dead in his bed. And this woman who found him is now, in just a matter of days, getting married to young Nicholas. And there was big things about this. He had a bachelor party in Denver that none of us were invited to. And by the way, I'm a big fan of your friend Tucker Silva.
Yeah,
I think he's a really good guy.
He's the best man. So
I threw a fork at him.
I'm just gonna say you got a funny way of showing it.
Can we talk about that? Well, why did you?
I don't know. I was kidding around. All right. So
and now he only has one eye.
I was sitting next to Tucker when it happened. I'm like, whoa, what's going on?
How was I sitting next to Fred and I didn't see the fork?
The fork was launched at me.
Because
I'm numb, Fred. That's why.
Right. Because it was a huge, aggressive gesture, Rich, where I stood up and launched this thing at him in a fit. You know how you didn't notice it? Because only John noticed it.
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. John's notices everything. But all right, here we go. So anyway, Nick had this special party in Denver. None of us was were invited. And then we decided, well, wouldn't it be fun if Nick had a local bachelor party and Joe was going to plan it? Now, apparently Joe was on the radio, according to Twitter, on Saturday, pissed at Rich about taking over the bachelor party.
I want to hear this because a listener said the same thing.
Yeah, I didn't hear it either.
Now,
I didn't hear it either.
Okay, because just to kind of... I was going to have nothing to do with the bachelor party.
That is true.
But things got so strange...
Convoluted is the word you're looking for.
...that I was actually asked... I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I was asked by Nick, because we had talked about it. He goes, hey, Rich, why don't you just do something small and local here and just talk to Joe... and take it over.
Right. There were things behind the scenes that change the dynamic of what was going on.
But it, there were things in the scenes that did not, because at one point, Joe on the air was like, all right, so I've done this. I'm out. Now I'm out. And so it didn't seem like he wanted to do it anymore. That was kind of one thing that led to it.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. So that's the way, that's why I took it over. But he was pissed on, do we have that audio? I wouldn't mind hearing this.
I only know just because Nick was corresponding on Twitter with him.
Yeah,
and like I got a couple tweets too saying Joe is going after Ridge.
Okay, I did hear, however, also that Bird, who was with us at the bachelor party on Saturday morning, called into the show and they discussed trying to get some cider, some hard cider, to bring to the bachelor party, which is fantastic because apparently Joe and Bird showed up at the steak restaurant with a gigantic cooler.
Yes.
Of cider that they had them put in the coat check.
It was in the coat check.
Not to mention, the first place we were meeting was a place that serves alcohol.
Was a brewery. Right. So they were going to bring a giant like cooler full of beer to a brewery, and then they coat checked it at the place we were at.
Okay, so I did not go to the brewery, but I was a minute early, and everyone was already seated. So I was very excited about that. So we had dinner. Now, Rich had gotten a bus. And by the way, it was a fantastic dinner. It's the most I've ever spent on a dinner in my entire life. But it was a fantastic dinner.
Well, I mean, listen, when you're feeding the bankroll boys and the rest of the crew.
Because Rich
ordered a steak that he could have hurt people with.
Rich showed me the check, and I went to Rich. Oh, my God. All right.
I think I messed up. I think that was one of those checks where they already added the tip in there.
Oh, no.
I didn't look, but I was thinking about it, and I still have the receipt.
Well, yeah.
Because put it this way. You have every right as a restaurant when you're serving 10 people to throw the tip in there. You do. However, I don't like when they don't tell you.
And then we double tipped.
And then we double tipped. So, but then again, what these are.
It doesn't matter. Listen, there was COVID, and the wait staff was very nice. I don't have a problem with it, but I will say, I went to Rich and I went, wait, we're doing all this? And so,
can I say this?
Everyone else left.
I've never seen anyone eat a tomahawk steak by themselves.
Which was what Dan Lifshitz
did. Dan, yes. Seriously. Like a Brontosaurus burger from the Flintstones.
What is it about, and listen, I don't care about the money. This is not about money. I swear to God.
Yeah.
What is it about Rich and I paying for dinner that leads to people ordering steaks? Like, when we took Gary Washburn out, he got a porterhouse.
I remember that. I was sitting next to him that
night. Like, who eats a porterhouse steak?
But it was usually enormous. When you see a tomahawk, it's like you for two. It's usually tomahawk for two, right?
Nope.
And when that thing came out in front of Lifshitz, he just looked like the cat who ate the canary. He's like,
Okay, so
it was awesome.
So we get this, like, it's not like no one ate before it, too. It's like we got this big,
seafood tower
and everything. It's appetizers, sides. Right. It's crazy.
And then he ate the, and here I am, I feel so, unlike a man, I have this filet. And I'm sitting there eating this filet.
Right.
And next to me is this, and I didn't even finish it, and there's Lifshitz is destroyed this tomahawk. But anyway, dinner was fun. Nice.
Yes.
So, am I missing anything? Dinner was fun.
No, it was great.
All right. Yeah. So the bus comes, and so Rich is paid for a bus. Now, Rich, John, and Dan and I are not getting on the bus.
Yeah, we stuck around.
We stuck around. So that left Bird. Lockhart made a game time decision to get on the bus.
Yep.
Then it's Nick, Tucker, did I say Lifshitz?
Joe and Lifshitz.
So six people.
Yeah.
Six
people. And Bird.
So Bird and you guys all go to the Encore. Now something which was not Joe's fault happened at the Encore.
It wasn't Joe's fault.
But this drives me nuts. Go ahead and tell me what happened.
He was sitting at a blackjack table. We walked behind him, and he originally was playing only one hand. Then he started playing two hands. Joe Murray was, which made this guy very, very upset.
Okay. Why?
Is the guy already sitting at the table?
Yeah.
Okay, because the only reason that you may have any excuse for getting upset that somebody's playing two hands is if the casino is absolutely packed and you can't get a seat. Then it's like, all right, man, what are we doing?
Yeah, that's different.
But this is a dude sitting at the table.
Okay, so how many, do you even know how many decks they use? It's not a single deck. It's not single deck blackjack.
Sometimes you can go to a table that has worse odds that are single deck. And I don't know if this casino has it.
No, I would imagine Encore on a Saturday night doesn't have that.
Okay.
So, and even if he does, I mean, what are you, next to Rain Man? But and it's still a matter of luck. It still doesn't matter how many people are at the table. So this guy gets mad at Joe, and what happened?
This guy was very upset, Joe. And then after a few hands, Joe maybe played like two hands, maybe two or three times. And then the guy got up and was like, oh, F you guys, F you guys. And he was walking away, went up the escalator and was like flicking us off and everything. And Joe was like very fired up over it. He's like, I'm going to go kick this
and
guy's
that's,
ass.
And that's why he, just because he was playing two hands, that's why he was pissed? It was like, okay, let me guess. Sleeveless Paul Pierce jerseys ripping butts?
No, but like, big blowout, slick hair.
Nice.
He looks like a cartoon.
Yeah, big high roller.
Yeah,
big high roll. And so he was such a mathematician that Joe playing the extra hand was somehow screwing up his massive card counting scheme that he had going.
He was pissed. I thought he was joking around. I'm like, man, it's all good. And he's like, F you. I'm like, okay.
Oh,
all right.
Geez,
this guy is angry.
My God. And so that happens.
Yep.
And then
Lockhart goes home after that.
But then the bus takes Tucker and Lockhart home.
They take Tucker and Lockhart home.
But which turned out to,
and by the way, just real quick about the Encore, my game was how long after they walk into the Encore does somebody recognize Bird? 30 seconds from the text that I got from Tucker.
Well, that's no
30 seconds they knew who
Bird was. That's not fair.
The king of Everett.
It's in Everett. And so it turns out not a wise decision to take Lockhart and Lockhart and Tucker home, because then you arrive
at Saugus's finest golden banana.
Yeah! I believe home base for our own Tyler Faith.
DB's golden banana.
Okay, so
nice. ODB.
So there was a debate going on at the table because Bird has connections, of course, with the Golden Banana. And then Nick was kind of going, should we go to Centerfolds? And then the debate was, so the decision was made to go to the Golden Banana.
I said, if you went to DB's over in Saugus, instead of going to like one downtown, I was like, you go to this place, you're going to be a king amongst men if you roll in there with Bird. And was I wrong or was I wrong?
I mean, why go to Vegas
when
you have the golden banana right there?
Can you talk about how like Joe got home and how Dan got home?
Oh, I haven't mentioned that to you yet. No, Joe got picked up by his wife after the club.
And then can you say the Dan thing or can you not say that?
I don't know. Dan's wife actually came with us.
Kind of awesome.
So when we went back to the seaport to drop off Tucker and Lockhart.
Oh, you dropped them off at the seaport. Oh, I thought you dropped them off at home.
No. So we drop them off, and then Dan got a text from his wife saying, oh, I'm in the seaport. Why don't you come up to the old Golden Banana with us? And they came.
Okay.
Interesting.
You know, it was...
All right.
I'm guessing at what percentage of bachelor parties does the a girlfriend accompany the one of the gentlemen to the strip club?
Is that a party foul?
I think it is.
I think it is.
I think it is.
It's a little bit of a... How did you feel about it?
See, I didn't mind. I didn't mind.
Because you don't mind. Yeah, right.
No, because and this also like wasn't a big deal. It was the Golden Banana.
Yeah, right. And everyone like, kind of got it. Right.
But... It is, I would imagine, fairly unprecedented that the...
Yeah.
And then, like, wouldn't you tell your girlfriend, like, or your wife, like, no?
Yeah, this is our... Or, you know what, though? I don't know. It's one of those things where you just... I don't know even how it comes up. Like, I would kind of know not to...
Yeah.
No women are allowed. Point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it comes up because they're obviously telling each other what they're doing. Because like it doesn't affect Nick in any way. What does Nick care?
I mean,
Nick and Dan don't know each other that well. Like, what does it affect Nick? But the Now, did you use your money in good things? Did you go through your money or did you?
Yeah, we went through it pretty quickly.
Did Bird's friend give you the hookup? Like when you walked there, like what was special?
That didn't go. We spent that at the Encore. I was breaking even a lot, and then I wasn't.
No. However you want to spend.
I mean, when you showed up, Bird said he knew somebody at the club.
Oh yeah, we didn't have to pay a cover.
There okay,
that's
right.
Probably so, like right. five
did they? Did they? Is there? I've been to the Golden Banana once, but it was with Crash. So there's like a atom of my brain that recalls this. And this was years ago. So is there like a VIP situation at the Golden Banana, or is it?
You know what? We were there for such a short time that right. I didn't really get a good grasp of like what's going on. Sure. They had the main stage and everything. So we hung around there. When we arrived, it was like, you know, 12:45. The place closes at 1.
That's amazing. Oh, it closes at 1?
Yeah.
It's in Boston.
Because it's
Saturday?
Outside Boston.
Oh,
it's so,
yeah. Gosh, man. Well,
you're leaving out one part. This trip up to the Golden Banana was kind of a bucket list item for young Nicholas. Can I tell them
yeah,
why?
Yeah, you can tell them that.
Okay. When Nick was, how old were you, 7, 8 years old?
Yes.
He used to drive up Route 1 with one Mark Jamelli, and Mark would say, oh, this, I love this place. This is to an 8-year-old, he'd say this.
Ah, the Golden Banana.
We did FaceTime.
Full contact.
We did
FaceTime. I don't know about that, by the way.
But we did FaceTime your dad
Mark,
at dinner.
That's yeah. right. Yes.
That was great.
We had trouble getting him hooked up a couple of times.
No.
He looked like a giant floating head.
Well, what was fantastic was that he just had the lights off. And he was sitting in darkness for the first minute.
It was pitch black. He didn't realize that.
We're like, Mark. Like,
the camera requires light.
He's like, I see you guys. Like, we can't see you. It's like, put your pants on, turn the light on.
All right, but you had a good time?
I had a great time. Thank you guys so much.
Good. No problem. It's our pleasure. But it was a good night. Very good dinner. And, I enjoyed everyone's company.
I miss Bird. I do. I have to be honest. It was good seeing him.
But I just see him. Yeah. I told my wife, I said, at what point in my life now am I the guy who's not going to the strip club? This is where I am now. I never wanted to be that guy. I never wanted to be the guy that didn't go to the strip club.
You know.
But now I'm the guy that didn't go to the strip club.
Mm-hmm. Fred, it's because you've had a full life.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's like, you don't.
You're a very responsible adult now, Fred.
I'm telling you, once the kids are grown, then I'll be the old guy.
You're going right back.
I'll be the old guy this year.
And maybe Stephanie will call you and you can take her.
Yeah. I'm in Atlanta, of course, I've been to a strip club with my wife. That's just the way it goes. All right. Well, good, Nick. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. And I'm glad Joe did not resort to violence. I don't know what it is about blackjack tables or gambling. Well, I know what it is. It's alcohol and money. That get people so crazed. Like, I can't even play craps anymore, because every time I play craps, I just get screamed at.
Oh, I just...
Your hand's on the table. Okay, all right. What do you think I'm doing here? What do you got, weighted dice?
I just learned to laugh at those guys. Like even on a table, and I've only been, like, kind of yelled at once. But, I mean, I just look at them, I just laugh, and just go, all right.
Well, you know the story about when I was in the Bahamas, and my wife and I got in a fight. It was before we were going to get married. It was we were visiting the location before we got married. And this big guy, like big old guy, was like screaming at me. And I'm like, F you, go screw yourself. And then so anyway, the next day I get on my plane to fly back to Atlanta. And I'm in first class. And the guy walks onto the plane and he sees me and just starts screaming at me.
Totally. You're the guy, I should kick your ass. I was in the war, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh my God, this psycho's doing this on a plane?
And I'm like, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't know what was going on. Yeah, people lose their minds.
Yeah.
You should be having fun. I don't know why you're losing your mind yelling at everyone at a blackjack table. Everyone's so smart at their blackjack table. It's all luck. I mean, listen, if you're at like, you know, $100, $200 hand table and someone's, you know, playing like ridiculously, it could be annoying, even though probably it doesn't affect you at all. It would just be annoying. But I mean, who cares if the guy's playing two hands? Let the guy play three hands.
Yeah. The other thing is like you always tip your dealer fairly big at the beginning. That way the dealer's on your side if someone's a dick at the table. Then it's like then they can say something and it's like, all right. Like if someone's being a dick to you, get the dealer on your side.
Well, yeah, if you double down or split and you hit both, then you gotta toss something to the dealer.
Mm-hmm.
hopefully get him on your side, but there you go. All right. I'm glad he had a good
time. Did they drink all of their gigantic cooler of cider that they put in Kochek? Okay, good. Well, that's good to know.
I wonder how he got that cider. Must have been very expensive.
I'm sure there wasn't any kind of mention of their name at all during one of the shows.
Okay, yeah, right. Well, you just happened to hear him talking about it. It's so funny. Rich showed me that check. I looked at Rich. I said, whoa, okay. Here we go. It's flying a family to Florida, Florida. All right. But listen, it's my pleasure. Rich is a very generous person. And
it was fun.
You also paid for the bus. You know, if it was 1920, that would have been enough to pay for the wedding. All right. So we'll be back. We'll go around the NFL.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them. Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
Rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Around the NFL.
Over his hands.
In 15 minutes.
You play to win the game.
All right. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Why does Fred, someone asked on Twitter, why does Fred have extra venom today? Well, because Zach Wilson played like that. He let me down. He had to throw four picks. I mean, I knew they were going to lose the game, but I mean, the guy didn't have to throw four picks, embarrass me like that. Barrett, go ahead.
All right. First of all, did you say Lifshatz is the same guy that ordered the tomahawk and brought his wife to the strip club?
Yes.
Why are you guys friends with this guy?
I was telling
you guys look at yourself in the mirror and ask that question.
All right, Barrett, let me ask you this. So like right, so like you like the taste of steak and everything, right? Like why is getting 60 ounces of it make it better?
He could have hurt somebody. He could have picked up that steak and hurt somebody.
Sure.
Seriously.
He must have been sweating all night.
Yeah, that was an impressive cut. All right, go ahead.
Fred, why you're wrong on this, because the whole offseason you want to tell us that Belichick, you know, he just lucked into this pick. Wilson's the better quarterback because the Jets picked him at 2, and they must know what they're doing, and nobody picked Jones at 15, but till the Patriots at 15, blah, blah, blah. And you want to tell us that the first thing you want to come on and tell us is that, well, the Patriots couldn't stop the run. Well, Belichick looked at the film and said, these idiots don't put this guy in their center. They don't give us any run luck. They sit back and shotgun, and they're going to say, let our athletic toy go be Pat Mahomes. Go do something. And Belichick just looks at it and says, okay, well, we'll put 6 DBs back, and you're going to throw us 4 picks. And sure, you have some runs, but you're not playing anything in the center. So we know you don't want to run it. You just want to pass the ball. And the first thing you come on here after saying is it wasn't a blowout. They could run on us after a 29-6 loss.
Wait, why would, but if they knew that he couldn't throw the ball, why wouldn't you stack against the run?
Because they don't want to run. They don't do anything on the center. They're in shotgun the whole time.
Yeah, but you can still run the ball out of shotgun. I mean, you can still hand the ball off out of a shotgun.
They don't want to. They want to pass. Matt Jones is on the center because he wants.
He threw four picks.
Exactly. That's my point.
But they didn't know he was going to. They didn't game plan for him to throw four picks.
The game plan for him to throw it.
They looked at the film and said, this guy doesn't do anything under center. They just want to throw the ball. So we're just going to drop him back. They don't want to teach him how to be quarterback. They just want him to drop back and play.
They ran the ball 31 times. They ran the ball more than the Patriots did.
Right, because the Patriots let them on first and second and said, go ahead. We know what you're going to do. You're going to throw us a pick on third. We're good with it.
So you're saying that Belichick was playing on the assumption that he would turn the ball over four times?
What I'm saying is he's a rookie quarterback. Look how the game played out. It wasn't an accident. I think Belichick knows what he's doing, right?
I didn't. Wait. What did I say about? All I said is that I would be concerned that the Patriots allow amount of yards rushing.
And I expect that from 2 to 6. I don't expect that from 6 to 10.
I don't think you can't say what I said is dumb.
You got blown out 29-6, and the first thing you say is, "Well, they can't stop the run." I mean, come on.
No, the first thing I said is Zach Wilson was an embarrassment.
That is 2-6 right there.
All right, well, then good. Let us be 2-6.
I'm a Red Sox. I'm a Patriots fan. They can't stop the run. They didn't stop the run yesterday.
Did they need to, though?
Dude, when you throw four picks and you get that kind of field position, I mean, believe me, the game could have been way worse than it was.
I see what he's saying.
Here's what I'm saying. That was a close game until midway through the third quarter. So if Belichick's plan was so ingenious, I mean, that game didn't get out of hand until very late in the game. So, I mean, the Jets weren't going to win, but the Jets were only down a touchdown for a significant portion of that game. So, whatever. I don't know. What am I going to... I don't know. I'm not game planning the game. What do I know?
As I said, what I wanted to see this week was two things. One, a win, and they ended up blowing out a bad team, which is what a good team should do. And two, I wanted to see them clean up their mistakes from week one. And they did both. Doesn't mean it's any win that you should hang your hat on. I'm not coming out here and saying that Mac Jones set the world on fire. He was adequate. He didn't make mistakes. That's the main thing I wanted to see. Clean it up.
Score two touchdowns.
Have a bounce. What's that?
Score two touchdowns.
They have problems finishing drives.
As I said, Fred, I'm not giving them all the praise in the world. What I'm telling you is that I wanted to see two things: a win and clean up your mistakes. And
then
they did that.
And then I guess it's your definition of a blowout: scoring two.
I would say three touchdowns is a blowout.
Two touchdowns.
Three. 6 points is a touchdown.
Oh boy! They scored two touchdowns.
They've won by 19.
They scored two touchdowns.
I know that.
Yes, but it's a three touchdown.
It wasn't impressive, fine, but they won by almost three touchdowns. Fine, it's a blowout.
Okay, fine. It's your definition of a blowout. I'm not splitting hairs on this.
But, Rich, you're missing the overall point here. I mean, and we talked about this earlier. I had dozens of people tell me that this team's going to win 11 or 12 games. There was a prediction they'd go to the Super Bowl in the media here.
Stay away from that because that's
taking
not...
Taking Mac Jones out of it.
John.
This team is not really good enough.
If you just talk about yesterday's game and you look at it, you can't really say anything too positive or too negative about what they did.
I agree. Take it at face value. Right. Fine.
But I agree.
You definitely can't rip on them game. That's one thing you can't do.
But if you can explain what they did well and what they didn't do well.
What they did well and what they didn't do well. And if you get the kind of field position they had and you get four turnovers and
see them finish more.
Like to see them score more than two touchdowns.
Well, I agree with that.
That is an issue. Like, they have red zone problems that they have to do.
Okay, all we said were things that were obvious. They'd like to see them finish more drives. You'd like to see them block better on the right side of the offensive line. Mm-hmm. You'd like to see so they don't get their number one, their top draft pick killed standing back there in the pocket.
You turn the ball over four times, you get the kind of field position they do, you would like to see more than two touchdowns.
You'd like to see the defense stop the run better. All of these things are easily picked out and go, okay, they have problems with this, this, and this.
I think the run thing's being overstated a little bit. It's not good that they gave up 150 yards.
The Jets' offensive line is a disaster, and they ran for 150 yards on you yesterday.
The game plan was good enough. It was good enough.
I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm saying that this team, while they've shown well, has obvious problems, and the competition's about to get tougher.
And there's no way Belichick's plan was to let them run the ball. That's crazy. There's no way the game plan was to let them run the ball.
I think they knew he was going to throw the ball, and he was going to be very undisciplined with it, which he was. I think that it was, put it this way, if the Jets were smart, what would they have done? Continued to run.
No, there's nothing the Jets
could do. But they're not smart, and they didn't do that.
They wouldn't have, if they were smart, they wouldn't have had Wilson throw down the field, but it sounded like in Saleh's press conference, that was kind of Wilson.
Yeah, but let's just not take away from yesterday's game that this was anything less than what it was. They beat a bad team soundly, and they cleaned up their mistakes. They have a couple of issues, especially with that offensive line, but that's truly about it. You didn't learn a ton, but they didn't F up.
No, yesterday was more about the Jets being bad than the Patriots being good.
Yes.
So, I mean...
Yeah, of course you can critique a win. there's things that they didn't do well. They didn't stop the run. And the game plan was to let them run. That's not the defensive game plan was to let him run for 150 yards.
I'm saying it didn't matter.
You brought in
Of course it didn't matter.
But, I mean, you spent money to bring in this guy Godchild. You brought in Anderson, a former Jets defensive lineman, specifically to stuff the run. And so far it hasn't worked out. That's all.
That's the first time I ever heard someone call in and say the game plan was to let him run the ball. That was the game plan.
No, I think what he was saying was that they knew that eventually he was going to chuck it up. And so they were daring him to throw by staying back. And then when it would run, they would stop it.
No,
if they
you
could.
Would dare him to throw by loading the box. You wouldn't dare him to throw by playing a nickel defense. They dared him to throw by letting him run the ball. What is it? An oxymoron? That's not the correct
it's
term.
Wrong is
it's
wrong.
Well, no, it's the opposite. It's you dare someone to throw by loading the box.
Yes. You bring the safety down.
Yes.
The big nickel, you stack the box with seven or eight guys and say, we dare you to beat us man for man down the field.
Yeah, they dared him to throw by letting them run the ball.
You don't put an extra two DBs on the field.
They're preparing for the throw.
They dared him to throw by letting them run the ball? Wait a second. What's going on here? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You know, the game plan going in is we knew Zach Wilson was really bad quarterback, so we were going to let him run the ball.
Yeah, they were preparing for him to throw. They were preparing for that because they knew that no matter what success they had running, he was going to chuck it up there. And did he do that?
Yes,
he did.
No, but you would dare him to throw by stacking the box and stopping the run. That's how you dare someone to throw. You don't dare someone to throw by falling back into pass coverage.
That's right. You stack the box, you force him to check to a pass, and then you take your chances.
You realize this isn't even a debate. This is you dare when you're daring someone to throw, you go to man coverage and just go have at it. No one's deep. And then in theory, you couldn't run the ball at all, and then you would force Zach Wilson to throw. Zach Wilson gifted you that stuff. The Patriots didn't do anything to make Zach Wilson throw those interceptions. You think it was a brilliant defensive scheme to have him throw a punt up to Devin McCourty? Zach Wilson played terribly. There's no debating that. Against anybody, he's doing that. But if you are watching the Patriots and you know that they played an inferior team, of course you can critique some of the things they didn't do well. Of course, you can't come out here and kill them and go, this is the worst thing that ever happened. But, I mean, listen, they struggle in the red zone. That's an issue. That is an issue. A big issue. And they didn't stop the run. And that's an issue. But, Rich,
But it didn't matter. The stopping the run.
No, in this particular game, it didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
Because the other quarterback said, here you go. Here's the game. But against any other team
would have continued to run. Like, that's the main thing about the Jets. And that, to me, was right. You're talking about this new rookie offensive coordinator.
No, I think LaFleur's in over his head right now.
They would have continued to run. Oh,
and then they would have set things up by short passes. But the thing is, they would have ran a similar offense to the Patriots, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. But Sala made it sound like Wilson was freelancing on a lot of that stuff and didn't have any idea what he was doing. I mean, the quarterback gave you the game. Probably would have won the game anyway. But Barrett's calling back. All right, Barrett, you have 1 minute, and I will not interrupt you.
Okay, I'm telling you what I saw, my thing, and what they did, and you're looking at the outcome, and you're just saying I'm wrong. The outcome speaks for itself. Like they knew what they said. This kid's going to throw picks. We're gonna drop six back and let him throw picks. That's exactly what happened, and you're just saying, well, that's not how you do it. It's wrong.
They dared him to throw by dropping six back into coverage.
Yes. Fred, okay. How many...
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Dan, say something, because you were in utter disbelief as well.
I looked at Mike. I said, you dare somebody to throw by going man-to-man and saying, if Corey Davis is your best receiver, I'm just going to put one person on you.
Patriots fans...
You stack
Patriots,
the box and play man.
Patriots fans just go, here's what happened in the game.
Everything's right. Everything we did was right.
Oh,
everything was
God,
by,
it's,
by
it's
plan.
Just
they
insane.
Knew he was going to throw. They knew he was going to throw. They knew no matter what kind of success they had with the running game, they knew he was going to throw. So they dropped back, and they were ready for him. They prepared for
him. That's every quarterback.
Well, yeah, you're going to throw.
Not if you have such success that they did in the running game. What would you do? You'd run,
well,
run,
you'd
run, run,
throw.
Run.
I mean, Zach Wilson threw the ball 33 times.
Too impatient. Yes.
Yes. They knew he was going, right. He was going to get impatient, and he was going to start chucking it around. Gunslinging.
Right. But they didn't
so
dare
they were
him
ready
to throw.
Maybe dare is not the proper word. It's no. They prepared for him to throw.
I just like, and it's like the thing, it's like, well, Zach Wilson threw four picks, and you said that he was a good, like, you said that he could do things that other quarterbacks can't do.
It's just one of the things where they knew he was going to hurl it up there, and they were ready for it.
Fine.
And that's what they
fine,
did. They prepared
they
for
but,
they were prepared for that.
But they didn't dare, certainly didn't dare him, yes, dare him to throw.
Yes, dare is not the right word. They prepared for him to throw, and they were ready.
Right. So, yeah, they like Ted Johnson said, they were in a nickel defense the whole time. Yeah, they were prepared for him to throw, not prepared to run for the running game. Hachi-machi.
I just love how Ted Johnson comes in. He goes, game like that, get in the huddle and go, boys, we're all about to get good stats today.
Exactly. You know, that's exactly
here
what
we
it
go.
Was. I mean, it's like just these some of these Patriots fans, just whatever's in front of them, they, duh.
I don't think dare was not the right term. They're prepared for him to throw.
Of course they were prepared for him to throw. We're in nickel defense the whole time. But you still can have some concerns coming out of the game. My Lord. Let's everyone's got to slow down. It just and then they'll lose, and then they're like the worst. But then they'll win, and they're the best. And you go, why are they the best? Well, they won.
Dude, okay. They won by 19. Let's stop with this being like, you know, like one thing or the next. It's not the Miami game. They should have won that game. They won by 19.
Yeah, when the other team turns the ball over four times and you win by 19.
And you were ready and you were in the right place to capitalize. Yes.
It's fine. You would like to see them have more success than two touchdowns off of four turnovers.
That would be nice.
Of course. Of course. Belichick was a genius. He dared him to throw by having six defensive backs on the field. Oh, my God. What is going on in the world? All right. We'll be back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Right now. It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Everything's slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Around the NFL.
Over in his hands.
In 15 minutes.
You play to win the game.
All right, let me take one more call.
Let's do it.
My head's still spinning. I was in the other. I had to talk to Dan and Mike. I don't know what's going on. They just showed the McCourty pick. That was genius defense. And McCourty was standing there while the ball was thrown to him. They didn't do any. Oh boy, Patriots. Jay, go ahead. I'll take all the abuse you want on Wilson, but let's not go nuts here that you can't criticize one thing about the Patriots. All right, Jay, go ahead.
So first, with all due respect, I absolutely understand where you're coming from, but and this is coming from a homer mentality as well, because Belichick's done this sort of thing in the past. Obviously, it's a little bit different when the game's multiple scores out of reach for the opponent.
Right.
But when he allows them to run, he knows that each one of those plays is taking at least 35 seconds. So I wasn't 100% invested with the first quarter of the game. I know that I'm pretty sure it was the first two drives Wilson turned the ball over.
Right.
But once the Patriots got up, I think it was 13-3, is when they just full out let go ahead, run it in first and second down. We don't care.
I would disagree. I would disagree at 13-3 because the game's still very much in reach and the clock's not a factor at that point. Because if you would have told me once the game was out of reach and it was a bunch of garbage time runs, of course, because then you're in a prevent defense. But
the reason I disagree with you is because Belichick has a history of doing this sort of thing. Even though it is still the first half of the game, it's not out of the realm of possibilities that he's... If they lost, he would have overthought the situation.
Okay, but I'll ask you this. If he's addressing the team and he goes, the Jets ran for 152 yards, do you think he is disappointed with that rushing total?
Absolutely. I think it's one of those things where if it comes up, he says, we got out-coached in that aspect where I didn't put our guys in the best position to win, even though we won.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with what you're saying, Jay. I mean, we're on the same page.
I do. I think Bill Belichick goes, we won 25-6. What are we doing?
Oh, if you think Belichick doesn't go into that and doesn't have a problem with things they've done?
See, I think it was by design. I think you could run that much in that game and it didn't matter. And the proof is in the actual score of the game at the end of it.
Well, you can't guarantee, Rich, that a quarterback's going to crap himself like that.
Unless they knew how bad he would be up against this team.
But then you would not want them to run the ball. Again, you are just pointing at the shiny thing and saying, well, they had four interceptions. Well, yeah, they had four interceptions because Zach Wilson played like crap. It wasn't anything they did defensively. He just played like crap.
Patriots won, but they have a lot of work.
Well, even Ted Johnson said he wondered how much even Bill wanted to stop the run yesterday. Like, he even said that he didn't think
he said he was concerned about the run defense.
No, but for this particular game, he said he didn't think Bill cared as much.
He was concerned about the amount of yards they gave up rushing.
But then he followed up by saying in this particular game, he didn't think that Bill thought it was a big deal.
I suppose after the fourth pick, maybe not. But, I mean, it wasn't anything Zach Wilson played so poorly, I don't think it was anything particularly that the Patriots did. But I mean, I would be concerned about this team's run defense because their front seven. Here's two concerns for you: the front seven was supposed to be very, very good, and they haven't been. And then also, their offensive line was supposed to be the strength of the team, and it hasn't been.
That is to me something to monitor. That's so going to be
if you want interesting. So I'm prepared to take the Zach Wilson heat. But, I mean, that the idea that Belichick's just going to go into a meeting and say, like, great game, guys, nothing to work on here, is completely, no coach would do that. Maybe Pete Carroll.
But there's a difference, Pete Carroll, there's a difference, though, between not thinking that your team can stop the run if you designed your plays to indeed care and concentrate on stopping the run. And I don't think that was their play going into that game.
I think when it was 10-3 for as long as it was, and they had already had the couple of turnovers, Bill was not overly pleased with the way things were going.
You know, they would have stopped the run if Kyle Van Noy was in there. That's saw him live tweeting the game.
Yeah. Well, Kyle Van Noy is someone who thinks he is way, way, way more famous. Kyle Van Noy has gotten to the point where I think that because he runs on the field and like all the people cheer at the team for the team, that he thinks like all of New England is just like completely invested in him. Like Kyle Van Noy put out like someone seeing ghosts
he
again.
Said, ghosts again?
Yeah. Like why don't you fix your throat instead of worrying so much about Twitter? You beat the Jets. Congratulations.
Oh, what is that coming?
Bad.
Oh yeah.
I'm back.
I actually thought about him. I've actually thought about why he thinks he's so popular.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have.
Well, what conclusion did you come to?
It must just be like when you play in front of, 69,000 people that you assume that they all like. Well, 69,000 people is not 4.4 million people that live in the Boston area, nor is it the many more millions that live in that apparently he thinks that like everyone just is like a huge Van Noy fan.
Okay, so where did Van Noy, you know, so he came from Detroit, right, before he
yes.
was here? Okay.
Detroit.
So he played here, Detroit, and then Miami. He went down to Miami. So think
yes.
about it. I mean, you're playing in a place when you come here where everybody's freaking out about the New England Patriots, and he's probably not obviously used to that. And so you're right. There's got to be something ego-wise. It's like, well, maybe I was the change. Maybe I was the reason.
Exactly. But there's plenty of guys that don't think that. So, like, of all the guys, Kyle Van Noy, like, he's just like a dork.
Like, Pat Mason, I'm back.
Like, no one cares. No one cares about that. No one cares about you.
He's back. I do like the fact that he ended up tweeting that. I as soon as I saw that tweet, ghosts again. Whoa, Boogeyman shirt on sale.
He's just trying to bring that Boogeyman thing back. That's exactly what he was trying to do. He's got all those shirts in storage. He just wants to unload them. All right, Bob Sosi will talk to us in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.